Good morning, everyone. I want to say Happy New Year and really blessed New Year to everybody. Hope this year is a year when God blesses all of our lives as we put our faith in Him. And today's scripture is that Pastor Tim will be teaching is Proverbs chapter 12. And because it's a really long section, he's going to be reading it verse by verse, so I won't be reading it to you. But we will pray together. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for today. I just think of your word in Proverbs 12, as we'll read. It says, "He whoever loves discipline loves knowledge." So we pray today, Lord, that you would work in our hearts. Give us your, this year, Lord, bring your discipline, bring your reproof, bring your correction, so that each one of us would be men and women of God, adequate and equipped for every work of service you have for us this year. Strengthen us in faith, Lord, as we hear your word preached and taught throughout this year. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, family. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you all today. Actually, we're the house of the Lord, so it's good to be gathered with the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. As we've gathered in this place, we have our 16th teaching from the book of Proverbs. And as our brother Greg said, we are going to study the 12th chapter. And we have entitled this sermon, "The Way of Righteousness is Life." If you have the handout that came in the bulletin, we begin there. In opening to the 12th chapter of Proverbs, we read as Solomon continued to contrast righteousness with sinfulness. And by the way, this is going to be the mold through the next several chapters. And here he's expressing the excellence of godliness as compared to the wreckage of wickedness. Here, as children of God, we are afforded the opportunity to choose to be wise, and as a result, to experience wisdom's exclusive benefits while living a life of worship before our all-worthy God. It's all about the Lord, and all the church said, amen, that he would be glorified. Before us are proverbial declarations sent from heaven above, meant to lead us in paths of righteousness. May we be as shining stars in a darkened world, letting our light so shine before men that they will see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. And what favor then will come upon us as we who live out the righteousness of Christ are blessed of God. Beloved, as those who were born at such a time as this, on this side of the cross, we have a distinct advantage. For having believed in Christ Jesus, the Son of God, so has he set us free from the slavery of sin. We are free to live lives of godly wisdom and righteousness. As Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Doesn't that make your heart leap with joy? Amen? "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Amen. The Spirit of God indwells us, and he is holy. He guides us into all truth and empowers us to live lives of holiness. And this is what the book of wisdom teaches: true and practical holiness. What holiness looks like lived out in our daily lives. When we, by faith in Christ, obediently submit ourselves to God's wisdom as expressed in these Proverbs, so will we walk in the Spirit, living in the unshackled freedom of Jesus Christ. Think then, would you please, of all the pains and sorrows we would put away and all the blessings God would bring to us if we would make the Word of God our rule. We were praying this morning in the men's meeting, and we were praying and saying, "Lord, thank you for your great salvation. Thank you that you redeem us out of the pit. But we pray that there will be a people who rise up, who are bent toward your word, and they never go into the pit, but that they will be able to say they loved you and knew you from the earliest age." Amen. Beloved, this can be if we will make the word of God our rule. Think of the rest and the joy. the peace and the happiness that would be ours in Christ if we would just take these words to heart, applying them to our daily living. Here, our Father freely shows us the way of blessing. He explains it. He lays it out before us in love and honor of our Lord, of our Heavenly Father. Let us follow His path. This is the path of untold blessings. Come, let us study the 12th chapter, that we may grow in the grace of God through the wisdom He has granted us here. Roman numeral 1, those who love wisdom love righteousness, and those who love righteousness have life. Amen. So verse 1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. The Bible is plain. Discipline and knowledge go hand in hand. Did you hear that? The one who would gain knowledge must be disciplined in obtaining her, for she must be sought and studied diligently, and that as a result of diligent desire. One reads a book by opening it and reading it. And one reads all the way through the book by reading it diligently. Beloved, would you acquire knowledge? Then you must be disciplined in acquiring. Seize upon what God has given you by studying His written word. Diligently appropriate the gifts of God, and you will be blessed. Further then, if you would truly love knowledge, then you must love the discipline that comes to us by others, and moreover, by the hand of God. God puts people in authority. As they rule over us, we are being ruled by God, who gave them that authority. God disciplines us. God disciplines those whom He loves. And afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. While discipline is not pleasant at the time it is administered, yet it is for our good, and we should receive it wisely as an opportunity to learn and to advance in our knowledge. As Tremper Longman writes, truly wise persons are those who desire to know when they have done wrong so that they can change their behavior. But he who hates reproof or discipline is stupid. The various translations have these verse saying that such a one is brutish. Another verse or translation says they're like an unreasoning animal. Due to lack of knowledge, that is due to ignorance, the fool simply doesn't want to learn. When it comes to learning, they are sluggards, failing to comprehend the advantage. They aren't motivated to seek knowledge. They don't understand the value of the study of God's word. They're ignorant. But would you please then, with that in mind, consider what the prophet Isaiah wrote, chapter 5, verse 13a. Therefore, my people go into exile for their lack of knowledge. And in a accusatory or warning way, the prophet Jeremiah wrote, chapter 4, verse 22, my people are foolish. They know not me. They are stupid children, and they have no understanding. And Hosea wrote, chapter 4, verse 6a, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Dear one, understand this one thing. A lack of knowledge and understanding not only prevents one from advancing, but it also leads to their destruction. Stupidity is not neutral. He who hates reproof is stupid because he refuses knowledge, and in so doing perpetuates his wrong thinking and subsequent wrong response and subsequent misery. In ignorance, he blames his misery on others and circumstance rather than understanding that misery is a mindset that fails to properly consider God. If misery, as defined, is a state of great unhappiness and emotional distress and a serious lack of contentment, then we can easily comprehend that such misery is directly related to one's lack of knowledge of God. These simply refuse to learn to receive difficulties in this life as discipline meant by God to disciple us. And then in that misunderstanding or that failing to comprehend in that ignorance, then they wonder at the repetitive nature of their misery. Yet they themselves are perpetuating it by not seeking knowledge, by not accepting discipline. Tell me, how is it that people unjustly thrown in prison for years will praise God, while many outside of prison will not? It is a mindset toward God that rules our hearts and minds according to a true knowledge of God. The stupid are ignorant toward God, and they create their own misery, failing to give God thanks in all things. How can I give God thanks in all things? Haven't you disciplined yourself to the truth of the Scripture? That in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose? Or in walking by sight and not by faith, do we doubt the truthfulness of God? That is, do we call Him a liar? In all things, is it not true that God remains all worthy of all praise and thanksgiving on account of the singular fact that He is God and He is holy? Thanks to God that when our circumstances change, He does not, and that through that circumstance, He is perfecting us, like it or not. The wise like it. They have an appreciation for it. If we want to form something, we must apply pressure enough to mold it. How much pressure must God put upon us to mold us into the image of His Son? Better to receive the discipline and gain the knowledge than to resist Him, making it necessary for the pressure to be intensified. And beloved, God won't give up on you. He knows His plans for you, and He will bring it about. Oh God, we pray, take our hearts of stone and give us tender, impressionable hearts of flesh. Amen. Oh sovereign Lord, make us pliable and moldable. Let us learn to love the discipline that comes from Your mighty hand, for in Your hand is grace and mercy, and the end result is an eternity of glory. Letter A, the righteous love discipline and knowledge. What a change we need to have in our mindset to love discipline. Verses 2 and 3. A good man will obtain favor from the Lord, but He will condemn a man who devises evil. A man will not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous will not be moved. The one who does what is right before the eyes of the Lord is godly, and God blesses godliness, for it follows after him. The one who by faith in Christ gives himself to the obedience of faith is blessed of God. Humbly conform your will to the word of God, and God will rain down untold blessings upon you. Your life will be like the house that is built upon the rock. And when the awful storms of life come and the violent winds of adversity burst upon you, you will stand being firmly rooted in our immutable God. But in contrast, the one who devises evil, who never comes to faith in Jesus, has not a snowball's chance in hell. That man's condemnation is sure, as John 3:18 says, "He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." The end of the wicked is predetermined, and God will pronounce their judgment, saying, "I never knew you, away from me." Though a man seeks to establish himself in this world through means of wickedness, he will be rooted up, thrown into the fire which burns forever. Turn to Christ and live. For letter B, the righteous are established in the favor of God. Why choose any other way? Verse 4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is as rottenness to his bones, in his bones. An excellent wife is one who is a devoted follower of Christ, chaste, wise, busy for the benefit of her home, virtuous, holy, calm in demeanor, whose words are seasoned with grace, who dresses modestly, all as described in the 31st chapter of this same book, which we will get to soon enough. Such a woman is a treasure, and she is a treasure a compliment, a crown to her husband. Longman points out, the contrast between the righteous and wicked woman is a major theme in the book of Proverbs because the subject is of such monumental importance to the young man to whom the book is primarily addressed. Avoid a bad marital choice. A noble woman enhances the godly man's life and is a reward for his wise behavior, whereas a disgraceful wife brings suffering to his life. Such a wife brings shame to her husband. The fact that such a wife is likened to rot in the bones shows how deeply a bad marital choice affects a husband's life. And indeed then, as we read this to young men and young women, as we apply this lesson to women, we learn that while God commends the excellent wife, so will the excellent woman choose wisely in selecting her husband. For she understands that an excellent husband will be a blessing to her, and that a husband who is sluggardly toward the things of God will be as rot in her bones. Young people, to the unmarried I say, choose your spouse carefully. The question isn't how beautiful are they physically, but how holy are they spiritually? That's the question. Amen? Girls, don't marry the first guy who comes along and says, I love you, will you marry me? Well, now, if he's godly, marry him and be quick to do it. But the first guy that comes along, he says, I've met women, had many young ladies tell me, the first one who says, will you marry me? The answer is yes. That's the words of a foolish woman. The first one who says, marry me, who is a godly man, that's the one to say yes to. Amen? So, if he's handsome, praises be to Jesus. If he's godly, that's everything. Amen? Choose your spouse wisely. Young men, choose your wife wisely. Consider their life. Observe them. Ask them questions. Amen? Know them. Do they love the Lord God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength? That's the question. For only then will they be the excellent spouse that God has called them to be. Choose them wisely. Letter C. The excellences of a righteous spouse are a gift of God to those who love them, gifts of life and joy. Well, I'm telling you, from my seat where I'm at, I can tell you, a bad wife or a bad husband makes for a long, poor life. But a good wife and a good husband adds life to life. Amen. Verses 5 through 7. The thoughts of the righteous are just, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. Since the thoughts of the righteous are just, they are pure and true, their words are just the same. They are just, pure, and true. And as God is delighted in justice, truth, and purity, he will deliver the righteous, causing their house to stand, to endure, and to flourish. But of the wicked, the counsel of their heart is unjust. It is impure and deceitful as they seek their own advancement through the harm of others. But know this, God will see to their just recompense, and then they shall be no more as their words and deeds revealed that they rejected Christ. The wicked, their life is but temporal. The righteous, their life is eternal. Letter D. The righteous are just, and God himself delivers them, causing them to stand with the promise of everlasting life. Verse 8. A man will be praised according to his insight, but one of perverse mind will be despised. Even in this world among the godless, though it seems to be diminishing, there is an appreciation for wisdom and a disgust for foolishness. Of course, I think that as this world is going, as wisdom diminishes and foolishness is exalted, the less a man will be praised according to his insight, and the less the perverted will be despised. Yet, church, at the same time, what of this world? For God is our Father, and we're not of this world. Father's pleasure is our goal, and since Father is the final judge, we know that he will exalt the wise, his wise ones, at the proper time, and will most certainly judge the perverted one at the proper time. Verse 8, better is he who is lightly esteemed and has a servant than he who honors himself and lacks bread. Well, on this verse, we admit that the translation is rather difficult, and we've got about three verses like that in this chapter. So whenever I say that, I'm telling you that I'm going to do my best in preaching it as I understand it, but you need to go home and study it, all right? Now, I'll correct you like I did last week. Quit looking at your Bible study notes now. I'll do that on your own time. All right. The translation is difficult. The NIV paraphrases this verse as meaning, better to be a nobody and yet have a servant than to pretend to be somebody and have no food. Derek Kidner follows the Septuagint closely, giving this translation, better is a man of humble standing who works for himself than one who plays the great man but lacks bread. Well, what are we to make of this, beloved? It is better to be humble and provided for than to be a braggart and go without. It is better to earn your own living than to talk a lot and do nothing. Who cares what people think of you? Well, we care, but that's not the dominating point. The question is, what does God think? The bragging sluggard goes hungry and has no reward, while the humble man is provided for. Why? Because God exalts the humble, and he debases the proud. I'm reminded of a couple of friends of mine who married many years ago, back in Iowa. The husband, after they got married, he wouldn't hold a job. But he was constantly doing things. He was always busy, but not busy working. He was constantly doing this and that, and then he would admire himself for what he did, and he would say, I'm pretty good at this, aren't I? I should get a job doing this. Well, one day I could actually tell you their names, but I guess I'll leave that alone. Well, one day his father-in-law, and I were at the church cleaning up after some event, and there were some flowers that had been left behind. And, of course, instead of cleaning, he began to gather some of the flowers, and he began to arrange them. And then he held them up and showed them to his father-in-law and I, and he said, I'm pretty good at arranging flowers, aren't I? I should get a job as a florist, don't you think? And his father-in-law responded and said, I just think you should get a job. Better is he who is lightly esteemed and has a servant than he who honors himself and lacks bread. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek to honor God in your work, and God will prosper you. He will provide. Seek your own honor as a bum, and you will be without. Letter E. The humble righteous are exalted by God, while the arrogant exalts himself and is found wanting. Verse 10. A righteous man has regard for the life of his beast, but the compassion of the wicked is cruel. Again, Longman, righteous persons are so sensitive to others that they are sensitive even to their animals. One can imagine just how careful they would treat their fellow human beings. On the other hand, even the compassion of the wicked is cruel. That is, even their best efforts are dangerous. Consider this. A righteous man may hunt, but he hunts with respect for life, to make use of the animal, with it in his mind that animals were created by God for his glory and for the benefit of man. But then there are those who feign compassion for animals as defenseless living creatures with feelings and rights. And they truly feel that compassion, deceived as they are. But then in cruelty, they have a total disregard for the defenseless baby in the womb. Letter F. The righteous have a proper regard for life and all God's living creatures, while the wicked, when their brand of compassion is played out, are revealed to be the most cruel and heinous. Verses 11. verse 11. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who pursues vain things lacks sense. Here is wisdom. Listen to this. Hard work equals food. Do you like to eat? Shame on those who feed those who will not work. For 2 Thessalonians 3:10b through 12 says, if anyone will not work, neither let him eat. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in a quiet fashion and eat their own bread. End quote. But if you refuse to work, and you pursue vain things that do not provide for yourself and your family, then you play the fool. It is amazing to me how many really smart people play the fool. They know what they ought to do, but they won't do it. Verse 12. The wicked desires the booty of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. This 12th verse is another one of those verses that is, the translation is very difficult. And for your own edification, I encourage you to study at home. But as I take this verse, it follows in the sense of the previous verse. The wicked desire the booty of evil men. That is, they want something without working for it. They want to gain through the harm of others or taking advantage of others. But the root of the righteous, that is, that which they plant, will be productive and they will eat their own bread. And just the same in broader application, the wicked will perish while the righteous and their offspring will flourish. Letter G. As the righteous work and eat their own bread, so does God establish them, causing them to flourish. Verses 13 and 14. Man, every one of these is a hour-long sermon. Verses 13 and 14. An evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will escape from trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words, and the deeds of a man's hands will return to him. Here it is again. Whatever you sow, that is what you will reap. Sow to self and reap self-destruction. Sow to God and reap his kingdom. Pastor Tim, you said that exactly same last week. That's right, I cut and paste. You're right. I hate to wear you out with the truth. I pray that you remember it and can quote it. Sow to self and reap self-destruction. Sow to God and reap his kingdom. The Proverbs are repetitive. And that's because the Word of God is didactic. We need to hear it over and over and over. I pray in the next weeks, 18, 20 weeks, when we get through this, that you'll understand what God requires of us, what righteousness is, and what it looks like lived out. Amen? I pray that everybody in this church will be a hard worker who eats their own bread. Amen? I pray that everybody in here, every spouse, will be an excellent wife or an excellent husband. Amen? So we need to hear it over and over. I don't know about you, but when I'm washed by the Word, and another day I need to be washed by the Word. And the day after that I have to be washed by the Word, because I walk in the filth of this world. Thank God he's cleansed me, but as I walk in the filth of this world, my feet get dirty, and Jesus washes them. Amen? Okay, so the evil man will be judged by his words and will suffer for it. While, letter H, the righteous man will be judged by his words and deeds and be blessed of God. Verses 15 and 16. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. A fool's vexation is known at once, but a prudent man conceals dishonor. The fool considers his own judgment as always right, even though he languishes in trouble. Isn't that amazing? He always thinks his judgment is right. He knows what is right, but he languishes in constant trouble. Well, if he's right, why is he in trouble? Persists in trouble. And then he rejects wise counsel as foolish, despises the counsel. That's the way of the fool. But the wise one realizes his own frailties and cherishes the counsel of others. At that, the foolish are revealed for who they are and dishonored for it. Well, the wise one conceals the dishonor that would have come upon him had he not sought wise advice and taken it to heart. Letter I. The righteous listen to righteous counsel. You know, it's one thing to seek counseling. It's another thing to listen to it, to do it. Amen? The righteous listen to righteous counsel and cast off the dishonor that comes upon the fool. Verses 17 through 22. He who speaks truth tells what is right, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. No harm befalls the righteous, but the wicked are filled with trouble. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. All of these proverbs are concerned basically with the same thing, contrasting truthful lips with a lying tongue. The righteous speak truth, and in so doing they tell what is right, they bring healing, are established forever, they have joy, are without harm, and being faithful in their words, they are God's delight. In contrast, the wicked speak deceit, harm like a sword, live momentary lives, devise evil, are filled with trouble, and are abomination to the Lord. Letter J. The righteous speak truth and are the Lord's delight, while the wicked speak evil and are an abomination to the Lord. The righteous shall live forever, and the wicked will die forever. Consider your life before the Lord by considering the words of your mouth, for it is out of the abundance of your heart that your mouth speaks. Are you of the righteous or the wicked? Consider this carefully, for this is a matter of life and death. Turn to Christ and live. Verse 23. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. A prudent man conceals knowledge? We would think that a wise man exposes knowledge, wouldn't we? Well, here's the point of the phrase. The one who is wise and thus prudent doesn't go around bragging about his knowledge. He simply lives it out and is blessed of God. When he's asked, he shares, and all the world sees it. But the fool, ever thinking he is wise, exalts himself by opening his mouth. But when he does, he actually exposes himself to be a fool. We have our saying, better to appear a fool than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt. Letter K, the righteous knows when silence is in order, while the fool's blabbering mouth reveals the folly of his heart. Verse 24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack hand will be put to forced labor. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, we read that the hand of the diligent makes one rich, while the negligent hand makes one poor. Here we find that the one who works with diligence will rule. That is, he will have no need to rule, to have someone ruling over him, for he is self-motivated and accomplishes whatever is required and more. And because of that, because he is recognized as a man who gets up and does his job and knows how to do his job and does more, he will be given authority over others. I remember years ago, one of my first jobs after the gas station, I became a night stalker. A night stalker in the grocery store. Dear Jesus, help me. Oh, good Lord. Okay, pull it together, Tim. Wisdom, not folly. And I got this job and got in there and started stocking the grocery shelves. In 3 months, the management asked me to supervise the entire night crew, some who had been there for 12, 13, 14, 15 years. And I said, well, why are you asking me? I'm a new guy. I'm low man on the totem pole. I make less than all these guys. And he said, because you're the one who gets the job done without somebody telling you. When you get the job done without somebody telling you, and your boss recognizes that, he's going to put you in authority over others. Furthermore, and this is more blessed to me than any of it, furthermore, you won't have somebody riding your back. The Spirit will be ruling in your life, and you'll be ruling your own life. Amen? But the lazy one, whose hand is slack, will be forced to labor out of necessity and need with someone always writing his case so he'll get his work done. Will you be a righteous free man or a fool who is forced to labor? Letter L. The righteous are self-controlled and spirit-motivated when it comes to work. Well, the fool will not work unless someone or plain necessity forces him to it. Will you be free and rule, or ruled over and forced to work? Righteousness, wickedness, holiness, sin. Verse 25. Anxiety in the heart of a man weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. J. Adams wrote, the effects of worry upon the inner man are serious. Literally, one can worry himself sick. But words of encouragement and hope bring joy. Anxiety arises as fear and doubt are allowed to capture our thoughts. Failing to believe God and His Word, we tend to imagine the worst of every situation. Not only should we speak words of encouragement to minister to one who is facing anxiety, but when we are in such a place of anxiety, we, in wisdom, must go to God in prayer and seek the encouragement of His written word. Trust in God, believing in His word, will bring your heart gladness, joy, and a peace that surpasses all comprehension. Letter M, the righteous seek and speak a good word when anxiety strikes the soul and the souls of others. Verse 26, the righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Not only do the righteous know the way they should go, as the righteousness of God and His Word is their guide, but being an example of right living and right speaking, they are as a guiding light to those around them. They can say to their neighbor, as did the Apostle Paul, follow me even as I follow Christ, and all who follow their lead will prosper in the Word of God. This cannot be said for the wicked, for any who follow after them go astray. When the spiritually blind lead the spiritual blind, they fall into the same ungodly ditch of destruction. Letter N. The righteous guide their neighbor into paths of righteousness for the sake of our Savior's good name. In this their God is glorified, and they are blessed. Verse 27. A slothful man does not roast his prey, but the precious possession of a man is diligence, or as the NIV has it, but the diligent man prizes his possessions. A slothful man does not roast his prey. He does not prize his possessions, but the diligent man prizes his possessions. A lazy man fails to capitalize on his gain. He lets his gain go to waste. He does just enough to get his prey, and then because the chase is over, the excitement ended, and the mundane work begun, he leaves his prey as wanton waste. Not so with the righteous, for he is diligent, counting every God-given possession as worthy of thoughtful care. When he has the opportunity, he seizes upon it. When he earns something, he employs his wage wisely, letting nothing go to waste. Letter O. The lazy fool wastes his possessions, but the righteous one prizes all he has as granted by God. And being a good steward, he diligently uses his goods and talents for the glory of God. And verse 28. And the way of righteousness is life, and in its path there is no death. Ironside wrote, "The way of righteousness is that path of the just that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Passing through scenes of death, it goes on to the land of life, and that eternal life is now the precious possession of all who, by the straight gate, have entered upon it. What men call death, real and true as it is to everyone who treads the path of sin, for the just, it is but the end of the way opening into the gladness and glory of the Father's house. This God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide over death. Happy the portion of all who tread the way of holiness through a world of sin up to the city of God." Letter P. "In the way of righteousness is life, both here and now, and then and forever. For the one who is righteous, who by faith in Christ stands in the righteousness of Christ, shall never die, and though he die, yet shall he live. For those who have traveled the path of righteousness, there is no death, but only transition from this earthly life to life immortal. Even though his body goes to the grave corruptible, God shall raise the righteous incorruptible." Glorious thought is that. Amen. Now I want to ask, my friends, what path are you on? Are you on the road that leads to destruction, the road of sin, evil, wickedness, the road of rejection of Christ, who is the Lord? Won't you turn from the path of destruction and go the way of the Lord, traversing the path of the righteous, which is life? There is salvation for all who will come to Jesus. And it is not that any of us are righteous, but Christ Jesus the Savior is. And as we sin-filled creatures come to him in faith, believing, confessing our sin, trusting him for salvation, we are, by the grace of God, justified and made holy and blameless in his sight, as the righteousness of Jesus Christ is counted for us, even so much as belonging to us. And then, being free from sin and shame, we are free to live by faith in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, to walk by the Spirit, doing and being what these Proverbs teach, submitting to the loving instruction of the Lord. Which path do you walk? The path of destruction or the path of life? And we have a tendency to say, well, I'm not that bad. But the person who says that does not understand how bad the slightest sin is. For it is on account of sin, not the most heinous sin, but on account of all sin, that Christ died on the cross. It is on account of sin that we are separated from God. It is on account of sin that Christ died. So don't tell me your sin isn't that bad. Look at God and know that all sin is heinous. You have two paths. Finally then, before you lay two paths, there is a broad road of the wicked that leads to destruction, and there is a narrow road of righteousness which leads to life. Christ died so you could live. Believe upon him so that you may follow him. And being saved by his grace, you may travel the way of righteousness, which is life here and then, now and forever. Jesus is the way, truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except by faith in Christ Jesus. Today is the day of salvation. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Let's bow our heads in prayer. How loving you are, our Lord and God. You come to us not condemning us, but showing us the way of life. Lord, in all love, you discipline us and tell us that the way of sin is death, that we might realize this truth and understand that if we persist in sin, that we will die in our sins, separated and away from you, to spend an eternity in an awful hell. I realize, Heavenly Father, that many will hear that and say, well, that's terrible, it shouldn't be said. But Lord, we realize it's loving and it must be said. Thank you for telling us the truth. Thank you for not hiding this truth from us. And then not only this, Lord, that you tell us what the wages of sin is, but you tell us then the way out of it. That indeed there was no way until you prepared the way. You made the way out of it. You gave your son Jesus to be the Christ, the Messiah, who would die on the cross, paying the penalty not for his sins but ours. The Son of God, holy, pure, and true, blameless in every way, paying the wages of sin, death, in our stead. You, Lord, of sovereign grace, made the way. And then you tell us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that we can't come to you unless we come through Jesus, by faith in Jesus, believing in him. So what kindness you've shown us, what grace and mercy you've had toward us. It is my prayer today, Heavenly Father, that those who have not come to believe in Jesus, that he is the Christ, that today they will believe, they will turn from a life of sin, an aimless life of self-serving, to a productive life where you are glorified. And then, Lord, for those who have come to know you, who have been set free from sin, free to live by the Spirit, indwelt by your Holy Spirit, I thank you for these Proverbs. Though we find them in the Old Testament, we know, Lord, they are applied to us today by your Spirit. And as those who have been set free from sin, we can live these things out by your power in faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, may we be a people who live an exemplary life, letting our light shine so that you will be glorified. And in that, Lord, we know this, we will experience blessing after blessing, going from glory to glory. Even in my own life, I praise you, Lord God, how good you have been to me. You have blessed me in ways that I never thought, in ways I would have never asked. You're so good. Lord, may we live in the blessings that you pour out as we seek you and your righteousness. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.